Again, our reading will be from Matthew chapter 10, verses 26 through 28. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell.
Good to be with you this evening. I always appreciate opportunities to be together and to worship God. Tonight, I'm not going to keep you very long. I have basically a singular thought that I want us to think about this evening. And that is simply not allowing man to dictate how we're going to live our life and how we're going to serve God. And while there are many good lessons here in Matthew chapter 10, the overall general thought of the text is just that, that no matter what, you need to serve God. There is no excuse for not serving God. There's no excuse for allowing man to stop you from doing what you know is right. Regardless of the circumstances or the situation, we need to always put God first and serve him. Not really worrying about what man might say or what man might do or even how man thinks. We need to continue to serve God. And a passage that I like, and I think I know I have shared it with you before, but Matthew chapter 22, when Jesus was being attacked by the Jewish leaders, not in a physical way, but they were trying to entrap him. And at verse 15 of Matthew chapter 22, this is what it says. Matthew chapter 22 and the verse is 15. It says, "And then the Pharisees went and they plotted how to entangle him in his words. And they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, 'Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully. And you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances.'" And that portion there, the first part of that, you do not care about anyone's opinion. When it comes down to serving God, that is something that we certainly ought to follow. If there was ever a great tip for how to live the life of a Christian, that would be it. Don't worry about man's opinion. Don't worry about what man is going to do to you. Don't worry about what he thinks about you. Just do what God says. In Matthew chapter 10, we find that that is just the way Jesus expects his disciples to live. Even in this context where there's great persecution that would be experienced. Notice, if you go to Matthew chapter 10, and I'll back up to verse 16 of the text, and it's interesting that Jesus knew that he would be putting his disciples in danger. It was really the only way. One of the things that we should realize is that the primary thing in life has to do with the saving of souls. Saving our own soul and saving the souls of others. That's why Jesus gave up the riches of heaven and came down here to earth in the first place. And so he understood that in order for that to happen, in order for souls to be saved, his disciples would have to go into pretty much a hostile world. And really, nothing has changed. We don't experience the kind of persecution that will be described in this passage, but there is persecution, even if it's just verbal, even if it's just individuals discounting us, calling us names, or not wanting anything to do with us, or whatever the case is. And, of course, in some places in the world, there's actually even still physical persecution. But regardless of the situation, we can't allow man, no matter what he is going to do, to stop us from doing what's right. It's the only way the gospel will really spread abroad. I've said many times before, perhaps one of the greatest reasons why we're not more evangelistically minded is because we worry too much about man and how we'll be viewed and what man thinks. And that's a problem. So Jesus here, he's sending his disciples out, and notice again, he knows it's going to be dangerous. Verse 16 says, "Behold, I'm sending you out as sheep into the midst of wolves." That's a dangerous situation, isn't it? That is, in fact, a life-threatening situation. What happens when sheep go among wolves? Their lives are in trouble. There's a serious threat there. And Jesus knew that that is figuratively how it would be when he sent his disciples out into the world. He says, be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. And so don't just be foolish about the situation. Be cautious and make sure you're watching out, because there's a lot of people who oppose God out there in the world and certainly oppose Jesus. And so be prudent about the situation. And make sure that you're innocent and you behave yourself and you don't bring on, because of bad behavior, any kind of persecution. And so, you know, you have to watch how you go out there amongst these wolves. But he says, beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. Can you imagine? Like, I have a great deal of respect for the apostles of Christ. Here's Jesus telling them before they actually go, you're going to be in hostile territory. And some of you will even be flogged. There's a lot of people who would say, well, Jesus, I don't think I want to follow you after all. Thanks, but no thanks. I'm not going to go out. You're telling us beforehand that this is how we're going to be treated. And listen, they knew all about flogging. So do we, just because of our own research, and we know, not by experience, but they knew a flogging would result in the skin being torn off from the back, sometimes as deep as the bone. And many, many people did not survive being flogged. And of course, that was a threat. That was a danger. But Jesus tells them ahead of time, that's what's going to happen to you. And you'll be delivered to the courts, he said, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. He's talking about inspiration there. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaketh through you. He says, brother will deliver brother over to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. All of that. And yet Jesus still expected them to go. He's just warning them. He's letting them know it's not going to be easy. If you're going to be my disciple and do the work that I'm having you to do, you need to go out there, and it's going to be tough. It's going to be dangerous. Some will not survive. And he even says, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And at the end of the day, that's the most important thing. It is all about being saved. If you save your soul, we know we can't save our own soul. But if we obey the gospel and we live the way God wants us to live, and we don't allow man, no matter what the threat is, to stop us from serving God, in the end, we'll be saved. And what's more important than that? These disciples were bold. They did what Jesus told them to do. They indeed went out, not only in the immediate, but in the future from this, when the church was established and they began to spread the gospel abroad. There was a lot of persecution. But notice at verse 24, you say, that seems kind of cruel for Jesus to purposely send his disciples among wolves and in that kind of situation. But verse 24, he says, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. And so Jesus wasn't asking them to do anything that he himself wouldn't have to endure. Like, we know Jesus ultimately was flogged himself. And of course, on top of that, he was crucified. And what we're supposed to think, well, that's great. We needed that for the salvation of our soul. That's all right for Jesus, but I'm not doing that for him. No, he tells them, you're not above the teacher. You're the disciple. And the fact of the matter is the greatest compliment you could ever pay a disciple of anyone is that you are like your master. And so it is in Christ. Jesus was going to serve his Father when he was here on earth, no matter what. He did not care, as the passage said. He wasn't concerned about the opinions of man. He knew he was hated by the Jewish leaders. But that didn't matter. Even when people, you remember in John chapter 6, when he got down to really preaching the truth, and the Bible says many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. What did he do? I tell you what he didn't do. He didn't run after them and apologize for the truth. He asked his disciples, his apostles, will you also go away? Because Jesus wasn't going to allow anything, popularity or a lack of it, persecution, he wasn't going to allow anything to stop him from serving his Father. And in this context, he indicates he expects the same thing from his disciples. We get down to verse 26 and it says, and so have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. Don't be ashamed to let your light shine. What I teach you privately, don't be ashamed to proclaim it publicly. But there's wolves out there. But people will want to persecute us. People will want to arrest us and again flog us and all of that. Jesus said, proclaim it publicly from the housetops. Why? Because when it comes down to salvation, the only way the souls of men are going to be saved is if the disciples of Christ are willing to go. And no matter what the threat is, that's the case. And so he says, don't fear man. Man can only do so much. Yes, man can persecute us physically, whatever the form of that persecution might be. That's all he can do. Man can't do a thing with our soul. And remember, that's the most important thing. So don't fear man. Don't fear the one who can kill the body but not the soul. The one you should fear is the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. And that, of course, is God. Shouldn't we all live our lives like that? Now in Matthew chapter 10, this is an extreme situation. But let me ask you. What would you do if we lost the religious freedom that we have? It's kind of trending in that direction, isn't it, in this country? And I personally think that if it ever comes that we lose our religious freedom as a nation, it will take a while. I don't think you will experience that, but I've been wrong about that sort of thing before. Like, I remember thinking when it came down to same-sex marriage, I remember preaching basically the same thing. It's going to be a while before that happens. And in a blink of an eye, it was upon us. Well, so we really don't know. So let's just say, theoretically, that even tomorrow, we just lost our religious freedom. What would you do? Would you allow the threat of man to stop you from serving God? There's a lot of people over the years who would. There's a number of us right here at Brown Street. I don't know who, but there's a number of us that probably would. There have always been in the church those who allow man to dictate how they live their lives and whether or not they serve God the way they should. And there are all kind of reasons for that. Sometimes people get mad at the preacher. I know individuals who have gotten upset with something that the preacher has said or a decision the elders made, and they have left the faith. There are some people who have left the faith because of hypocrisy in the church. That has always, to me, it seemed like a foolish thing to do. You're going to allow the behavior of man to dictate how you serve Jesus, who hasn't done anything to you. He certainly never played the hypocrite. He was always only innocent and died on the cross for you. But because man has upset you, you're going to forsake him? That makes no sense at all. And yet we see, for all of these reasons, sometimes the threat of persecution. Again, it may not come in the form of a physical persecution. Maybe there's the threat of your family turning their back on you if you stand for the truth. And people allow that to stop them from serving God. Whatever the situation, it's the idea of allowing man to dictate what you're going to do with Jesus. And the exhortation tonight is, no matter what, don't let anyone stop you from serving God. Like, it doesn't make any sense to do so. And you have to start with where Jesus did. He didn't care about the opinions of man. And that's a good starting place. And it's not like we don't care at all about what people think or say. We all do. Even Paul cared about what people thought. We know that because he wrote sometimes things about that. You could tell in his writings he was distressed. He was disappointed by brethren who were accusing him falsely. Yeah, that had an impact on him, but not to the point where it caused him to stop doing what was right, ever. From that standpoint, he didn't care about the opinions of man. In fact, I like over in 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I've always liked the statement that Paul made here. I think we should imitate this attitude as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and at verse 2, he says, 1 Corinthians 4 and at verse 2. In fact, I'll just start at verse 1. 1 Corinthians 4 at verse 1, it says, this is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And that's exactly what we are. We're servants of Jesus. We're stewards of God. But now watch. Verse 2 says, moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. That is the one thing that is required of each and every one of us. We must be faithful to God. The question is, will you allow man to stop you from being faithful as a steward of the mysteries of God? Will you allow that? Paul goes on to say at verse 3, but with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you. That was Paul saying with Jesus, I don't much care about your opinion. Now, we know literally he was affected, but not to the point where he would choose what man thought and what man might do over doing what was right in the eyes of God. That's exactly where all of us should stand. But again, the people of God have always struggled. We don't have time tonight. I told you I'm not going to keep you long. But we have, there are other examples of that. Remember in John, I think it is the 9th chapter, when Jesus healed the man that was born blind? And the Jews that didn't believe, the Jewish leaders didn't believe, nah, he wasn't born blind. Finally, they asked his parents and they confirmed, yes, he was born blind. Well, who did this? And you remember the records that they would not confess who it was. They acted like they didn't know. You ask him, why wouldn't they just say, parents who had a child who was born blind, now he could see. You would think that those parents would be excited and filled with appreciation and would want to tell everybody what Jesus did. But they wouldn't confess it because they worried too much about what man thought. They didn't want to be cast out of the synagogue. A few chapters later, in chapter 12, the same thing. Jesus preached some things, and some of the people were upset with Jesus, but nevertheless it said that some of the Jewish authorities believed on Jesus, but they wouldn't confess him because they loved the praise of man more than that of God. Those are just examples of individuals, and it has happened over and over again, who let man, for one reason or another, stop them from being faithful to God. Don't ever, ever allow that to happen. Put God first. If you don't have a friend on earth, but you're faithful to God, that's worth it. You'll win your soul. And that's the most important thing. That's the exhortation for tonight. If you're subject to the invitation, if you need to obey the gospel of Christ, why not do it? We've been saying nothing's more important than your salvation. But there's only one way that you can be saved. You have to obey the gospel. There is no other way. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Fortunately, it's very simple to obey. Acts 2 at verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is, you will be saved. You can do that tonight. Repent. Have a change of heart towards God, towards sin. Make up in your mind, you're going to stop sinning. Be buried in the waters of baptism. You'll come out a new creature in life. You'll be ready to run the race of Christianity. I hope you'll begin that race right now. Come as we together stand and sing.